Only a few minutes left, I won't keep you late. Turn please to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshippeth. Verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Now you might say, whatever has that to do with what we've been engaged with over the weekend? The reason for reading these scriptures is found in Genesis chapter 12, the beginning of the chapter, where God says to Abraham, "Now leave your kindred, leave your people, leave your land, and I'm going to show you another land, and you'll be made a great people, and your seed shall be great." In other words, God says you're going to leave a great deal, but you're going to get something much better. Now I suggest to you that Paul, here in the midst of this uproar, his ministry had created this. The business dealings of those who made the little shrines of Diana was being affected, and there was an uproar against Paul. And in the midst of it all, the servant of the Lord stood and was quite happy to be under reproach for the Lord. But I've drawn attention to sacrifices that the Ephesian believers made. Those who trusted the Lord Jesus, they burned their books, and you'll notice it says the price of them was 50,000 pieces of silver. I suppose that was a considerable sacrifice from one point of view. From another point of view, it wasn't a sacrifice, it was a blessing to get rid of these books of curious arts, erroneous things, things that were contrary to God and his mind. So it wasn't only a sacrifice, it was a blessing to get rid of them. Now then, if we remember what we said about Genesis chapter 12, and think now of what the Ephesian believers get, my, what a contrast. We read in chapter 1 about the riches of God's grace, the forgiveness of their sins, the redemption that they have in Christ Jesus. Is there a comparison? Certainly is a contrast not to be compared. The loss of 50,000 pieces of silver and gaining the riches of God's grace, my, that was something worthwhile. Ample recompense for all that they had given up. Oh, how sad it is when, as believers, we are very, very slow to give up, to turn aside from that which hinders, that which is erroneous in the sight of God. And yet to turn away from anything that's erroneous is the pathway for spiritual blessing. And it was so for the Ephesians. Was that all? Why, says Paul, this grace has been given to me, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's what was brought to those Ephesian believers, the unsearchable riches of Christ. My dear Christian friends, what is anything in this world to be compared to the unsearchable riches of Christ? To enjoy them, to make them our own. After all, what's the use of £1,000,000 in the bank if we don't enjoy what we have? So then, if we have the unsearchable riches of Christ, they are there to be enjoyed, to be appropriated. And it's going to take a lifetime to understand what those unsearchable riches are. Marvelous thing. There are a few other references to riches in the Ephesian epistle. We haven't time to touch them. But there is plenty of evidence that having given up so much, they came in to much more. And that's always God's way. Always ready to recompense in an abounding way any sacrifice involved for his things. Now we come to chapter, verse 27. The temple of the great goddess Diana, the goddess of fertility. And it says here, she was worshipped throughout the world. We understand from history that in Ephesus was one of the ancient wonders of the world, the great temple of Diana. I suppose many of those Ephesian believers had been accustomed to worship at this temple, and connected with the temple was licentious behavior. Now then, have we something better in the Epistle to the Ephesians? Why, we learn at the end of chapter 2 that we're connected with a temple that is growing day by day, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Note the words, a holy temple in the Lord. Now, holiness is that which totally and completely excludes evil. It repels evil. And so this glorious temple that is being reared, it's not complete yet. It will be complete when the last saint is gathered in. It's growing into an holy temple of the Lord. What a marvel to be separated from the worship of this goddess and to be brought into this temple, indeed to be part of the temple, a holy temple in the Lord. And it says here, the whole world worships this goddess. Well now, we're speaking about the goddess of fertility. We have a God, a wonderful God, and from every nation of the world, people, kindred, tongue, and nation, people have been saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and they become worshippers of God. Millions of them in glory, and millions of them at the present moment upon earth. And we find, this was quoted this afternoon, we find at the end of chapter 3, that there will be glory eternally to God in the assembly in Christ Jesus. Not for a few years, not for decades, forever and ever and ever. Our God will be worshipped intelligently in the assembly in Christ Jesus, that glorious exalted man. There will be maintained for God worship forevermore. That involves you and me and every other believer in Christ. That's triumph. The temple of Diana, nobody knows anything about it today. Gone, crumbled, gone forever. All its magnificence, all its glory, all its licentiousness. Ah, this temple that we belong to, we are part of, it exists today. It's continuing. And God is worshipped and will be worshipped eternally. Lastly, some therefore tried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Exactly the same word that is used by the Spirit of God in connection with the assembly, the body of Christ. Simply means a company of people who were elected out of the community to represent the city. Ah, the Spirit of God takes up that word and gives it a dignified meaning, a glorified meaning. Called out ones out from this world system to be for God, intelligently, to represent God and to function for God. And oh, what a wonderful unfolding there is in the Epistle to the Ephesians of the assembly. What it is to the heart of Christ, what it is to the heart of God, what it means to us to be part of it. Tremendous unfolding, and we haven't time to go into it, but you will see that these things that are mentioned there in a secular sense, in a idolatrous sense, are now transformed in a greater way when we come to the letter of the Ephesians, and a luster, a glory, a permanence about them, and we belong to it all, and in the end it will mean glory for God and for Christ. Well, may we be encouraged for his name's sake.